I'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Joshua in chapter 8. Well, as we've been going through the book of Joshua, we find that Joshua and the children of Israel have faced some great uncertain circumstances, we might say. They had to cross, of course, the River Jordan, and that in itself was quite a feat, especially at flood stage, when there were so many people that must cross the river, and that God did provide for Joshua and for the children of Israel by literally damming up a part of the river, the part that would flow down, and that the water, of course, flowed by them and dried up, as it were, the riverbed that they might cross over the River Jordan. And then they came to Jericho, and God did give them victory over Jericho. The walls were very high. The army of Jericho able to defend itself, but yet God had placed within the hearts and minds of those of Jericho a great fear, and that the God of Israel went before Israel and did strengthen the army of Israel, and even gave them a stratagem, if you will, that was quite unorthodox, of marching around the city, a blowing of horns, of the Ark of the Covenant and of the priests carrying the Ark, and that God meant for them to take the city by His own devising, and that the walls of Jericho literally fell down and the army of Israel went up over the walls of the city and did take the city. By circumstances, God required that they would not take any spoil for themselves, that only those things that could be preserved might be brought into the treasury, and that it would be a sin for anyone of the army of Israel to take anything for themselves. And we find that Achan did sin against the Lord. He took a goodly Babylonian garment. He took a wedge of gold and silver, and he was found out, of course, by the means whereby that when they went up against the city of Ai, a very small city in comparison and not as well fortified, we find that they could not defeat even the smallest of the cities of Canaan because there was sin in the camp. It meant that God was going to have to do something in a very dramatic way to reveal that sin. And so camp by camp, tribe by tribe, family by family, we find that God told Joshua to bring the people before him. And they were brought, and finally Achan and his family was brought. The goodly Babylonian garment, the wedge of gold and silver, was found out under the tent of Achan. And because of the nature of the sin and the severity of it, that it was truly a breaking of the word of God for Israel, we find that the curse fell upon them and it must be dealt with, and so judgment must be brought against Achan and his family. And so they were stoned in the valley of Achor, and there a great heap of rocks was raised up over it to as a memorial to remind others of the judgment of God. And then we find that that sin being taken care of, the next thing was to go back again and see if God would give them the city of Ai as a victory. And so it is that this particular juncture in the nation of Israel meant that either they would follow God and serve God in a manner that was in keeping with His word, or else they would seek to do things on their own. And after this incident at Ai in the beginning, and when the sin of Achan was found out, Joshua and the children of Israel discovered that they only had one recourse, and that was to follow the word of God if they were to take the city of Ai. If they were to be victorious, if they were to truly know that Joshua was their leader and that God was on their side. And so we recognize also that our Joshua, our Jeshua, our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the victory. That we cannot attain the victory on our own. That sin often comes into the picture and that it must be dealt with because we find that sin is a part of the curse. That is, when Adam and Eve did sin in the Garden of Eden, and when they transgressed the will of God in partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then there was truly a curse which fell upon Adam and his descendants. It was that sin, which we call original sin, which did separate God from man. And we find that even today we are plagued by this sin. By the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden, by original sin. It is a part of our nature that we are continually struggling against sin, that we need to defeat it, and we can only have the victory, as it were, through our Jeshua, through our Joshua, through our Jesus, through the Lord Himself, through the fact that Jehovah saves, as the word Joshua means, Jehovah Savior. And because God provides the Savior. God provides the Redeemer. And as we look at chapter 8 here, and we'll read through and comment as we go, as it is a quite a lengthy section, and it deals with the stratagem that was used by Joshua as they come up against this city, that they might again know the victory is through the Lord Himself, through God Himself, not through their own devisings, but through God's means and through His method, which He devises. And so let us look at Joshua chapter 8, and we'll read and comment concerning the circumstances that Joshua now encounters with the children of Israel. Chapter 8, And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and its king as thou didst unto Jericho and its king. Only the spoil of it and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves, lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. Well, as God meant for Joshua to have the victory this time, and as all of the circumstances to which had previously been in place have now changed, we find that God is ready for Israel to go and to take the land. In fact, the Lord begins by telling Joshua this very thing. And so on this second attempt, Joshua and his army captured Ai by the stratagem, if you will, or the strategy of ambush. Although the details of the ambush aren't all that specific, yet there is enough information for us to see here how that this all took place. Some changes between Jericho and here. We find that in Jericho, the complete working of the victory was done according to God's plan by Joshua. That is, he followed a specific plan as God instructed him and the people of the Lord. They were to go about it in a certain prescribed way and follow it precisely. And as they did, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Here the methodology is somewhat different. And it is interesting that God does use different methods to accomplish his purposes. God doesn't make cookie-cutter Christians. We are all a bit different. But it is true that God is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can trust God to lead you aright and to show you how that you are to follow him. And if you will follow him clearly according to the dictates of the Word of God, you can be assured victory. And that was the thing that is consistent here. Joshua was to follow the dictates of the Word of God, as God might dictate it to him. And so we find here that the Lord told him. The Lord says, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." And so the first thing that Joshua was to realize that the Lord was with him in this battle that was to take place. You know, God is with us in our battles too. We have battles to face. We have temptations to face. We have trials to face. We have certain sufferings to face. We have a Christian life to live for the glory of God. But we must follow the word of God, and we should not fear. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. As the Lord told Joshua, so he tells us to remember this, that this is a consistent testimony and witness of God as we go forward and as we do those things which are honoring to him, and as we fight the battles which we fight in our own Christian lives, we are to remember not to fear, but rather to take courage in those things which God gives unto us. And so this is the same information, of course, that Joshua received at the very beginning of his taking over the reins, as it were, and following the Lord. And so we find that Joshua was to remember these same things. At the beginning in chapter 1, we find, "Remember the word of the Lord, the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord God hath given you rest and hath given you in this land." And so God promised the land unto Joshua. God promised that if he would only obey those things, then they would be very much victorious over it. In verse 8 of chapter 1, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest prosper, mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest." He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest." So the same words are given to Joshua at this time as they go up against Ai. That is, the words not to be afraid, not to be discouraged, but to take heart, realizing that God was with Joshua and the children of Israel. God is with us as well. God is with you wherever you go and whatever you face. If you are following the Word of God, if you are taking the Word of God with you and listening to what God instructs you to do, and it's all here in the book, as it were. It's all in the Bible, and we just need to follow the principles and precepts and the statutes of the Word of God and that New Testament example to which we are given through our Joshua, our Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we also too can have the victory through Jesus. In chapter 8 and verse 3, so Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people who are with me will approach unto the city and make it, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say they flee before us as at the first, therefore will we flee before them. So the stratagem would be a fairly simple one. There would be a large number of people who would go up against the city. Part of them would come and do a frontal attack, if you will. Part of them would be behind the city, and maybe even a third part of them, as is described later, would be a kind of a group that would be an ambush group, which would ambush those after they come out of the city. So there was the stratagem of military might, and that there would be a military strategy that would take the people of Ai and defeat them very quickly, and that essentially there would not be a man lost in the battle for Israel, but that God would gain the victory very quickly over the enemy. I think it is true that we must realize that God can give us the victory very quickly over our enemies as well, if we are willing to follow the strategy of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Our paths are directed of the Lord, but we can't trust in ourselves, because to do so is a fatal weakness. As we find out that is what happened in chapter 7. Joshua was trusting in the army that he had. He said, oh, just send up a small group. There's no sense everybody going up to Ai. But he received no particular word from the Lord in going up against Ai. He received no particular strategy in chapter 7. He just simply sent the people out because they had just come off this great victory with Jericho. And Joshua said, we're doing great. There's no problem here. We certainly can take this small city of Ai. But we find that it was more in Joshua's own strength that he sent out the army of Israel. But now Joshua has realized that, well, everything was not right. You know, sometimes when things are going good, we think we're safe, when in reality, maybe that is the most weakest point. Because we think we are safe, when in fact the enemy is just lurking, ready to pounce upon us and to take whatever promises and blessings and faith which we have and dash them against the circumstances of the world. And we're all of a sudden thrown into despair, and we think that somehow God has departed from us, when in reality we just have not recognized the circumstances for what they were. We must trust God at all times. And it is, of course, a weakness that each of us has. None of us are immune from this weakness of trusting in ourselves. None of us are immune from the fact that we are blindsided at times and don't see it coming. None of us are immune from the fact that we underestimate the enemy, that the enemy is full of all kinds of strategies of his own, and he is an enemy that is said to walk around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can set fear upon the hearts of people and truly dismantle them, and he will, then he has won the victory over them. And so we must, like a pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, as he faced Apollyon, we must recognize that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we must be willing to lay our hand upon it, as it were, and take a stab at the evil one, as it were, and wound him with a fatal wound that he flee from us. So we need to resist the devil and flee from him. God is on our side, and we are not to fear. Let's continue in the reading just a bit further in verse 7. Then you shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And so Joshua does receive some instruction, but it's not the same as in Jericho. Here he says, well, you just need to do as I've said. Send the greater part of your army out against, and some of them behind, some of them in front, a third part as an ambush, and then rise up from the ambush after the men of Ai have come out and seize upon the city, for the Lord will deliver it to you. Well, now, that is very much encouraging to Joshua, no doubt. And as he went forward this time, he knew that God meant for him to take the city. And we can know that, too. Why? Because if we use the strategy that God gives to us, then all we have to do is follow it. The circumstances will work out according to the plan of God, but we need to follow the strategy that God gives to us. And so he says unto us to take unto ourselves the shield of faith, to put upon us the breastplate of righteousness, to wear upon our feet the shoes that as we are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to put upon our head the helmet of salvation, and use all prayer. God's strategy is a sure defense. We just need to follow it and allow God to work these things out. And this is what Israel was to do. Verse 8, and it shall be when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord, shall ye do, see, am I have commanded you. And here again, another good instruction. He says, set the city on fire. He says, after we have shown them our forces and they have come out against us, he says, let them know that the city now is in peril. And so they start a fire in the city. It doesn't mean they burn everything right at that point. It just means that they have shown the army of Ai that what's going on here? I thought our city was safe. I thought the army was in front of us. No, there is something going on in the city. The city is on fire now. So they turn around. They think they are going to go back and defend the city, and the ambush begins against them, and they are cut off. God commanded and showed them exactly how they have to do the strategy. And it works every single time. Well, and that's what we need to remember. If God gives us a strategy and we follow it to the letter, it will work every single time. Because that is the command of the Lord. And God means for us to follow it. In verse 9, Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went in to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people, and Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people. Well, part of the strategy that God meant was for Joshua to be a commander among the people. If we see Jesus in Joshua, if he is the type, as it were, of our Jesus, our Joshua, our true Savior, then we see, what do we see? We see that God has sent Jesus to be our commander. He is our commander-in-chief. He is the captain of our salvation, as it says in the book of Hebrews. And so what do? We recognize that Jesus is with us. That Jesus is with us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, Jesus Christ is in us in the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. And so it is that we must recognize that the captain of our salvation is with us when we go forward under the command of God. And so Joshua rose up early in the morning. He numbered the people. That is, he set those people out according to number that they were to go up. There was 30,000 that would go up on the and behind the city. There was about 5,000 that would be an ambush group. There was another number that would be out in front. Well, maybe there was about 30,000 out in front, but however he divided that group up there, we find that he divided them all up just as he said, because God had commanded him to do that. And all the people, even the people of war who were with him, went up and drew near and came before the city and encamped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. So the topography, if you will, of the land meant that there was a valley between them and Ai. Perhaps the large number of people was out in front. Ai could see this large entourage of soldiers out in front. And so as they were looking out of the city and saw this great number of soldiers, they said, "Ah, Israel has come out against us again. And we will do to them like we did to them before." And so they think they can just go out and they can confront the armies of Israel and they can simply defeat the army of Israel. But you see, that was all a part of the plan. And God used this methodology. Notice that God sometimes changes the methodology. If we follow his commands, we find that he will give us the victory. But sometimes the circumstances surrounding everything are a little bit different. Sometimes you have a trial and the circumstances are a bit different. Sometimes you have a temptation and the circumstances are a bit different. Sometimes you are in the way and you find you have to make a choice and the circumstances are a bit different. Whether you will follow the Lord or whether you will not. And so God uses all kinds of different circumstances, but he expects us to follow his command. And this is what was going on here. Verse 12, "And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city." So here's a valley in between. Here's an army over here. Here's the 5,000 hidden in ambush. And there's a group that's going to set the city on fire as soon as the whole thing it gets in motion. "And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north side of the city and their ambushes on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, and they hastened and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at that time appointed before the Arbor, but he knew not that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if it were they were beaten before them, and they fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people who were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city." So Joshua begins to move the army away very quickly, as if they were too afraid to face the army of Ai, and they are drawn out. "And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear, and he had in his hand toward the city." Well, here's another part of the command of the Lord. God keeps giving him little different commands and what to do. And now, what is he to do? He is to stretch out his spear. Well, you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, he's following the command of the Lord. Joshua is the captain of the great army of Israel. And remember, there is a valley in between. There is a higher section. Perhaps Joshua situated himself so he could be seen by his army very visually. maybe not all of them, certainly the ones in ambush maybe couldn't see him quite as clearly, but they might have had soldiers watching at higher points to know what Joshua was doing, and as armies sometimes position themselves that way. So Joshua was to hold out his spear when it was time for God to gain the victory over the men of Ai. In verse 18, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his spear, and they entered into the city, and took it, and hastened, and set the city on fire. And so, as soon as Joshua gave the signal, then it all began. And sometimes God uses the Lord to give us a particular sign of how he wants us to proceed. Remember David? How that David would pray in when he was king, and he would say, Lord, shall I go up and defeat them? And sometimes the Lord would say, go up and defeat them. I will give them into thine hand. And sometimes the Lord would say, don't go up, not yet. Wait until there is a rustling in the top of the trees, and I give you a sign. Then ye shall go up, and ye shall defeat them. In other words, God kind of orchestrates the right moment. We need to look for God to orchestrate the right moment for us. We shouldn't rush in headlong and do things on our own. We ought to wait for God to give us the right moment to do the things that he requires of us. And that's important, isn't it? That we follow the leading of the Lord. That is our Joshua here. Joshua is following the leading of the Lord. His army is following the leading of Joshua. Joshua is to stretch out his spear, but they weren't to make a move until he did, because God was telling Joshua what to do. And as soon as they saw that the Lord was calling for that ambush to take place, they immediately went forward and hastened and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. So Joshua was waiting for the right moment too. Joshua gave them the sign. He held up his spear. He said, you begin to your ambush. But then he waited until just the right moment before his army turned around and started back toward the men of Ai. There is always a strategy in place when God means for us to accomplish things for his glory. We must wait upon the Lord. We must do it at the right time. And that's going to take some spiritual discernment on our part. In other words, you're going to have to stay in touch with the commander-in-chief. You're going to have to stay in touch with Joshua. You're going to have to stay in touch with your Jeshua, your Savior. And you will know, God will tell you when you are to do the things you are to do, but you must wait, because God will give you the instructions. Verse 22, and the other issued out of the city against them, and so they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side, and they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the city of Ai took they alive, and they brought the king of Ai took them alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass, when Israel had ceased slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field and in the wilderness, in which they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all Israel returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. So the battle must take place in certain places at certain times, and then they were to return to the city, and they were to subdue the city. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai, for Joshua drew not his hand back, with which he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Well, So here is Joshua. He continues to hold the spear and say, do not relent. You know, sometimes we give up halfway through the battle. Sometimes we think it's already won when it really isn't won yet. We have to continue the battle forcefully and strongly and in the strength of the Lord. We cannot stop praying. We cannot stop using the breastplate of righteousness. We cannot let down the shield of faith. We cannot put up our sword in place and its shield, in its sheath. We cannot take our shoes off as if we're going to rest when the gospel of peace is upon our feet. We cannot let go of the helmet of salvation. We must keep everything in place until God says the battle is won. You know, in the Christian life, it seems that we are in a battle that will not fully be over until the Lord comes. The Lord is our Joshua, our Jeshua. He is our Savior. We must never let down the guard, but continue to keep our armament on us and continue to fight in the battle. Because for anything else to happen, then we will not gain the victory through Christ our Lord. He has ordained the means and the methods for us to work and to serve Him. And we cannot lay them aside. For the minute you do, you will be struck by the evil one. In verse 27, he says, only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua. Now here's another command. This time, they were to take the spoil of the city. This time, they could. If Achan had only waited upon God, he could have had his spoil, as it were. He could have had his prosperity, the things that he was drawn to. But no, in Jericho, he thought he had to have that garment. He thought he had that goodly, worldly garment. He thought he had to have that. He thought he had to have that little wedge of gold and that little wedge of silver. He says, I got to have that now. But no, God says, we need to wait upon God to give us the things that He wants us to have. It must be one of the greatest temptations that we face in the world is that we go after things that God doesn't mean for us to have when we want them. We need to wait upon God. God will provide them in time if they are to be a part of our lives. But if not, then let us be content wherewith whatsoever the Lord provides for us. Because it is better to do that than it is to suffer the consequences. That's what Achan suffered, the consequences. And so it is the Lord gave this commandment. He says, now you can take of the spoil of the city of Ai. I give it into your hand. And Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it in at the entrance of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stone that remaineth unto this day. So here we find this, the means of killing the king was not only a defeat for the city, he was no longer there to raise up another army, but it was also to show that Israel was the victor. And so they did raise up a great heap of stones over him. Here is the king of Ai, here are the stones marking the gravesite, and the city is destroyed. And it also indicates to us that God, that they followed the commandment of the Lord. God meant for them to be victorious over this city, which did cause them a great shame in defeating him the first time of their own fault. And so we find that verse 29, the king of Ai, he hanged on the tree until eventide, and they went through this process and marked the grave. In verse 30, then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And Moses, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And so they had this this altar of sacrifice in Mount Ebal to give praise to God and sacrifice to him. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and the elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests and the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the sojourners, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses and the servant of the Lord had commanded them before, that they should bless the people of Israel. So in this particular pictorial, we find that there is a valley in between, Mount Ebal on one side, Mount Gerizim on the other side. The armies of Israel are situated so that they can see what's going on. And the, of course, the commandments are written. They are placed to give honor to God. And we find that the sacrifices are offered. The testimony of the Lord must be made known publicly to the people of God. I think that's an important statement to make too. That as Christians, we should give a public testimony to how God blesses us and gives us the victory in our lives. The commandments are before us. The Lord has given us his word and his command. The people of God are all around us, and those people to whom we have testimony need to hear the witness of the word of God, the witness of what God has done, and how that we offer our praise and thanksgiving to him. I believe that's a good thing to do whenever we come together as churches, especially as we come together for our fellowship of churches, when we have night of music and there's opportunity for us to sing and to give glory and praise to God. We can take an opportunity when we can and offer thanksgiving unto the Lord for the victories that he gives to us as a people, as churches, and for the glory of God. In verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read, not before all the congregation of Israel, and the women and the little ones and the sojourners among them. And none was excluded. The women were there, the children were there, the armies were there, everybody was in place, and the word of the Lord was read. The testimony was read. And we need to give testimony to the word of God. And Joshua was faithful in doing that. This time, he followed the command of the Lord right straight through the whole of the battle to Ai. He presented himself as their true commander. He held them to the command which God gave to him. He told them, you will do it exactly as God has commanded that we should do it, even to the taking of the spoil, even to the blessing that God gives to us. God has also provided for that as well. God provides for all these things, even in our own lives. He provides for the times of battle when we face the enemy. He provides that we might have the victory over the enemy. He provides that there might be blessing. He provides that we will receive the witness in our own hearts and give that witness unto others. And God's word is read, and we have the testimony of it even with us today. Victory in Jesus. We receive victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as he has won the victory for us. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Pray that you will minister it to our hearts in those things and areas that we need to be strengthened in, and that we may continue faithfully following the captain of our salvation, our true Joshua. In Jesus' name, amen.